Now let us turn our attention to the second category of the Dinim of Shabbos, the Isurim of Shabbos, the so-called Shomor category, the Shomor segment of the Dinim of Shabbos, the Isurim. The Isurim of Shabbos are mainly divided into two categories. Isurim deraisa, the Isurim, the restrictions and prohibitions that are min ha-Torah, from the Torah, so-called biblical prohibitions. That's the Melachos of Shabbos, the 39 Melachos, the 39 forbidden labors of Shabbos. Those are min ha-Torah. And the second category, the Isurim derabbanan, Isurim, prohibitions that are of rabbinic origin, rabbinic ordinances. In Shabbos, they're known as Shavusim, from the word Tishbois, according to the Rambam, and according to the Ramban, from the word Shabbosin. These are Psukim in the Torah, and Shemois, and in Sefer Vayikra. So the Shirish, the root form of the word Shavusim, the Isurim, that are used to describe the Isurim Derabbanan of Shabbos, is the word Shavus, Shabbos, rest, extra restfulness that is required by the Chachamim on Shabbos, in honor of Shabbos. Before we discuss in more greater detail what the Shavusim are and why these Isurim Derabbanan are so important to the Dinim of Shabbos, let's first return to the Isurim Deraisa of Shabbos, the Melachos, the 39 Melachos of Shabbos, which are based in the Torah itself, from the words of the Aseres HaDibrois, the fourth Dibur of Zohar and Shomor, Shomor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoi, where the Pasuk then says, Loisase kol melacha, that you are not permitted to perform any melacha, you're not allowed to do the best translation for the word melacha, work on Shabbos, the labors of Shabbos. And from there we know about the Isurim, the 39 Melachos of Shabbos. The Chai Yodam makes a very interesting observation. He points out that the Torah repeats the Isur Melacha 12 times in various different varying expressions. Twice in the Aseres HaDibrois and 10 times in other parts of the Torah. A repetition of this magnitude is it's most unusual and extraordinary, and clearly it conveys a profound message about the seriousness, the severity of Isur Melacha on Shabbos. Another interesting and rather startling observation regarding the Isur Melacha expressed in the Torah is the fact that despite being repeated 12 times in the Torah, nowhere does the Torah tell us the meaning of the word Melacha, nowhere does the Torah tell us exactly what it is that we're not allowed to do. What is Melacha? What does it forbid me from doing? Nowhere in the Torah except one exception. The Melacha of Loisevaru Eish B'chomosh V'Seichem Yom HaShabbos, the Melacha referring to kindling a fire on Shabbos, is the sole exception. It is the only Melacha that is explicitly identified in the Torah. All of the others are not described in the Torah. Now the Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Omed Aleph, begins, Avois Melachos Arboim Chosa Achas. The Avois Melachos, the primary labors of Shabbos, are 40 minus 1, that's 39 Melachos. And then the Mishnah proceeds to identify each of those 39 Melachos, beginning with Zerea, V'chayresh, HaChayresh, V'hakoitzer, and so on. But then the question emerges again. If the Torah doesn't tell us what the word Melacha means exactly, what it implies, what am I forbidden to do, then how does the Mishnah know? From where did the Chazal know what Melacha means, and that it refers to these 39 Melachos? The answer is that our knowledge of the 39 Melachos, what they are and how many they are almost exclusively known to us through the Mesorah, through Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition as handed to us from the Chachamim from their Rabbeim, from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. This means that it's practically speaking, impossible to be a Shomer Shabbos without a Maseiros Chachomim, without the oral tradition, without the Torah Shebaal Peh from the Chachomim, Asher Mipihem Onuchoyim, from whose word we survive today with our Torah. This concept that is impossible to fulfill Shemira Shabbos without Maseiros Chachomim, to avoid Chilul Shabbos without Maseiros Chachomim, without an oral tradition, is ironically confirmed in an indirect way in the Torah Shebiksav, in the written Torah itself, from the one sole Malacha that the Torah does identify as one of the 39 Malachas, from the Malacha of Leisavaru Eish, B'chol Moish Veisechem B'yom HaShabbos, that you're not, one is not allowed to kindle a fire on Shabbos. This is the one Malacha that is explicit, and this is the one Malacha that was point of contention between the groups, the splinter groups, it's all the Tzedekim, the Sadducees, who claimed that only Torah Shebiksav is authoritative. They only abided by the written Torah. They rejected the explanations and the traditions of the Chazal in the Psukim. And on this one Pasuk, the Pasuk of Lo Yisavaru Eish B'chol Moish Veisechem, they deviated, misunderstood, misinterpreted what is explicit in the Torah, and it was in this way that their Shabbos was a cold and dark experience with cold food, because they misunderstood and misinterpreted the words Lo Yisavaru Eish to mean not only that one is not permitted to kindle a fire, but that a fire may not remain kindled or burning on Shabbos. And this is part of why there's a special minhag, a custom, to have chamim, warm foods on Shabbos, to repudiate openly the misinterpretations of the tzaddikim and their misguided misjudgments about the words of the Torah. It is thus demonstrated that without a Maseiros Chachomim, one cannot properly fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos or avoid Chilul Shabbos, even when attempting to abide by what is explicit in the Torah. Although our knowledge of the number of malachas and their identities, the 39 malachas of Shabbos, are primarily from a Maseirah of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, makes a very important observation. The Gemara points out that the 39 malachas of Shabbos correspond to the malachos that were performed in the building and functioning of the Mishkan, the tabernacles in English, and in the Mishkan, when the Torah in the Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei in the end of Shemois describes the construction of the Mishkan and the function of the Mishkan, the Pasuk uses repeatedly the word Malacha to describe the functions and the activities that were done. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis establishes a fundamental principle regarding the nature of Malacha that determines not only how Malacha on Shabbos is properly understood, but also has a profound effect on the practical application, the halacha lemaisa, of the Lamedtes, the 39 malachis on Shabbos. The Chazal had a Maseira, a tradition of Torah Shebaal Peh, that the malachis that were performed in the Mishkan, the malachas haMishkan, were precisely the activities that the Torah made osur on Shabbos. When the Torah said regarding Shabbos, lo yisaaseh kol malacha, that you're not permitted to do malacha, the Torah meant the malacha, the activities that were done in the Mishkan, that is precisely what is meant that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Chazal also had a Maseira, a tradition, that the Malachas HaMishkan, the activities of the Mishkan, entailed 39 primary malachos that were perfectly corresponding with the 39 malachos of Shabbos. The Gemara says, Heim Zoru Afatem Loi Tizru. They in the Mishkan, in the construction of the Mishkan, they were required to plant. You are also not permitted to plant on Shabbos. Heim Kotzru. It was necessary for them to reap, to harvest the plants that they grew. You are not permitted to do these activities on Shabbos. The Gemara goes on that they had to transport the kerushim, the boards that were necessary for the actual structure of the Mishkan. You're not permitted to do that. We're not permitted to transport things on Shabbos. They had to assemble the kerushim, the boards, to erect the structure of the Mishkan. This too, building, is also forbidden on Shabbos, and so on. Incidentally, the plowing, planting, and the harvesting that was done in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, was these agricultural activities were necessary in order to produce the dyes that were needed to color the woolen tapestries and drapes that were used in the Mishkan. These dyes were derived from herbs that had to be grown, and therefore they were grown in the desert for the purposes of the Mishkan. Taisus in Chulin Daf Pei Chesamid Beis. It explains that this was all Bederech Nes, the desert soil, which is, of course, normally dry and arid, suddenly became miraculously fertile and productive. Chazal knew that the nature of Malacha on Shabbos is based on the nature of Malacha as it was performed in the Mishkan. And so they deduced two very important vital concepts from the Malachas HaMishkan. Firstly, they understood that in the Mishkan, each of the 39 activities in the construction and functioning of the Mishkan, those activities were identified as Avois Malachos. So they learned from the Mishkan the concept of Avois and Toldois. A Malacha, as it was precisely performed in the Mishkan, is considered an Av Malacha. So when the Mishnah in Shabbos Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph states Avos Malachos Arboim Chosar Achas, that the Avos Malachos of Shabbos are 39 in number, and then proceeds to enumerate these 39 Malachos, Hazereya V'Achoresh V'Akoitzer, and so on, Hazereya, planting, Choresh, plowing, Koitzer, reaping, and so on, the Mishnah is referring to the Avos Malachos, describing the activities as they were performed in the Mishkan. The Chazal also knew that not only are the identities of the Malachos found in the Malachas HaMishkan, the work of the Mishkan, but also the nature of the Malacha, that means the way the Malacha was performed in the Mishkan, that is precisely the way that the Torah said you're not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. The way, the manner in which the Malacha was done, the conditions under which they're done, which they were done in the Mishkan, those are the conditions under which the Torah said that Malacha on Shabbos may not be done. In other words, the Malachas that were needed for building of the Mishkan, those are the precise activities that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos. Those are the way, and the way they were done is the way one is not allowed to do them on Shabbos. This concept of the nature of Malacha, the way it was done in the Mishkan, is based on the term, the wording in the Torah that is used several times to describe the nature of Malacha in the Mishkan. In Vayakel Pekudei, the Torah describes the Malachas HaMishkan, the work, the functioning, the construction, the activities in the work of the Mishkan, as Malachas Machsheves, Machsheves, which means skilled labor, planned labor, labor that was done very purposefully, very important labor. This nature, the nature of Malacha, Malachas Machsheves, is the term that's used for describing what the Isser is of Shabbos. The Chazal say, based on this concept, the corresponding meanings between the two terms of Malacha, the Malacha of Shabbos and the Malacha of the Mishkan, Malachas Machsheves Osra Torah, that the Torah prohibited Malacha on Shabbos only when it's performed as Malachas Machsheves, the way it was performed in the Mishkan under those conditions, the nature of those activities, the way they were done in the Mishkan, that is the nature of how they're not permitted to be done on Shabbos. Based on that concept, for example, a Malacha that is done in an awkward way, if one is to do writing, which is one of the 39 Malachas, in an awkward way, It's called Kelach Hayad, in a backhanded manner. For example, he was to write with his left hand if he's a right-handed person, or if a person is to do a malacha in a substandard manner, let's say he writes or he paints with paint or ink that is not durable, it does not correspond to the way malacha was done in the Mishkan, it's now called Malachas Mashavas. The term Av Malacha literally means Father Malacha and refers to the primary labor of Shabbos, whereas the term Tolda literally means offspring and refers to derived activities, derived Malachas of Shabbos. The concept of Avos and Toldos is very important because it helps one understand how to identify which activities might fall under the category of a malacha and be forbidden on Shabbos, as opposed to activities that do not fall under any of the categories of the malacha and are permissible. For example, in the case of the malacha of Chayresh, the pula, the malacha act as it was done in the Mishkan, was to plow the soil with a plowshare. The purpose of the Malacha of Chayresh, the purpose of the plowing, was Tikkun HaKarka, improving the soil, cultivating it, so that it would be suitable for planting. Where the Pu'ula, the act, and the Tachlis, the purpose that one is doing, is identical to the Pu'ula and Tachlis of a Malacha as it was performed in the Mishkan, he is then doing an Av Malacha. For example, if one plows the soil of his garden with a plowshare, he is doing both the pu'ula, plowing, and the tachlis, improving, cultivating the soil, as it was done in the Mishkan, he would be doing an av malacha. However, if a person merely fertilizes the soil or does something to the soil without a plow, in some other way he cultivates the soil without plowing with a plowshare, what he's doing is a pu'ula that is different than what was done in the Mishkan. However, the activity that he's doing, which is different than what was done in the Mishkan, is achieving the same tachlis, the same goal, the same purpose that plowing achieved in the Mishkan. So he is then doing a tolda of the malacha of Chayresh. If he plows his field with a plowshare, he is doing the av malacha. If he merely fertilizes or does other kind of improvements to the soil, if he excavates and levels the soil or does some other activity which improves the soil, cultivates it, but does not use a plow, he's doing a tolda of the malacha, he's doing a different pa'ula, even though he's achieving the same tachlis. This is a tolda, not a av malacha. It is equally culpable, but it is not the Av Malach. Similarly, while planting a seed in the soil is the Av Malach of Zereya, because the Pu'ula and the Tachlis, the act and the purpose causing plant growth, is identical to what was done in the Mishkan in the Malach of Zereya. However, any Pu'ula, any activity whose Tachlis, whose purpose is the same as that of Zereya, is considered a tolda. For example, watering the lawn or watering a plant is a tolda of the Malach of Zereya. The pa'ula is different than what was performed in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they did not have to water any of the plants. The soil remained fertile and there was no need for them to do more than simply plant the seed. However, a typical farmer, after planting a seed, needs to cultivate the plant, water it, and take care of it. All of those activities which help promote the growth of the plant are tolda. Each one is identified as a tolda. It is similar in the purpose, in the tachlis. However, it is different in the pa'ula. Now, from here on in, for purposes of this discussion, the tachlis of a malacha is the definition of the malacha. Therefore, for example, whereas the av malacha of Chayresh is plowing, the definition of the malacha of Chayresh is tikkun hakarka, improving the soil for the purpose of making that soil more suitable for planting. Once we have achieved the definition, then we can understand what other kinds of activities might be included under the Malacha of Choresh. For example, any manner of loosening the soil, whether by digging, hoeing, raking the soil, or even scraping the soil with the heel of one's shoe, are all have the effect of making the soil more suitable for planting and seeding should one choose to do so. Similarly, fertilizing the soil or adding soil enhancers to improve the nutrients of the soil, landscaping, clearing the soil of debris, of tree stumps, and any other objects that would obstruct the plowshare from doing its work on the soil. All of these activities are included under the general category of the Malacha of Choresh, and they are all toldos of the Malacha. However, activities that may affect the soil or change its surface or appearance, but do not affect any improvement on the soil, are not included in the Malacha of Choresh. For example, there's nothing wrong with walking even on soft soil and leaving a footprint. Similarly, walking a stroller or a wheelchair, etc., over the soil and leaving thereby a wheel mark, which might even be similar in appearance to the furrows of a plow, are all not acts of Choresh, are not forbidden under the Malacha of Choresh, because these activities do nothing to improve the soil, and in fact, to the contrary, the wheel, the rolling of the wheel, and the compression of the of a footprint merely makes the soil more, hardens the soil, and makes it even less suitable, if anything, for planting. Similarly, the Av Malach of Zereya is sowing a seed, seeding. However, the definition of the Malach is Tzmicha, causing, promoting, or improving the growth. Therefore, any activity that promotes plant growth is included under the general category of the Malach of Zereya in Izatolta. For example, Hashkoas Zeroyim, watering plants, watering a lawn, also fertilizing a plant, even fumigating a plant to protect it from disease or insect infestation, are all activities that promote or improve the growth of a plant and are therefore Osir, as toldos under the Malacha of Zereya. A shaila is raised regarding sukkah coverings called a shlak that may have collected water after a rain. When one wants to roll up, open the shlak, and thereby causes water to fall onto the nearby grass, the question is this permitted on sukkahs during Yom Tov or on Shabbos, because throwing the rain water onto the grass is the equivalent of hashkoas zeroyim, watering the lawn, which could be a tolda of the Malacha of Zereya. The consensus of Poiskim is to say that in cases where it had been raining for quite some time and the grass was rather saturated or very wet and probably has enough water, that the additional water being thrown while the shlak is being opened would not benefit the plants to any significant degree, and therefore it would not be considered Zereya. Whereas if this was only a light rain after a dry spell, then it's likely to say that the additional water would indeed constitute an improvement of the plant and therefore be a question of Zereya. Another interesting shaila similarly is raised regarding rural areas without central sewers, and they're reliant very often on septic systems which involve running the waste and sewage into tanks that are some distance from the homes, and these tanks are designed to allow the sewage to break down and leach into the soil. Some question this as a problem of Zereya, since ultimately the sewage and the liquids running through the lines and leaching into the soil benefit the plants in the surrounding area. Here too, the general consensus of Poiskim is to permit these kinds of systems, mainly because the manner in which the water and sewage reaches the planted areas is through groma, that's indirect cause. That's one of the principles of Melechas Ma'aseves to be discussed. Nevertheless, in each case, one should bring the Shaila to a Rav, because circumstances may vary between one case and another, and this could affect the practical application of the halacha. A third interesting shaila is raised regarding potted plants kept in homes near windows, where opening the window or opening the window shades or curtains could allow for better air or improved lighting, and these changes could improve and promote the growth of these potted plants, therefore being a shaila of Zereya. In fact, a very relevant question is one who has these potted plants and is interested in opening the window or opening the window shades, mostly to improve the ventilation in the house or the lighting in the house, and has no particular interest in the plants at that time. And yet, improvement of the growth of the plant is occurring simultaneously. We call this a psik ratio. And the question is this permitted? In other words, one who has potted plants near the windows, are they permitted, if they want to bring light into the room, to open the window shades? Here, too, the general consensus of Poiskim is to permit opening, for example, the window shade, even though exposure to the sunlight is inevitable. Nevertheless, there are svaras that are beyond the scope of this discussion to permit opening the window shades. And nevertheless, one is advised to avoid these kinds of shilas if possible, and to place the plants in some distance from the windows. Incidentally, many poskim hold that potted plants are muktzeh and may therefore not be handled on Shabbos. Regarding the third malach of koitzer, the av malach is reaping, which would entail cutting, for example, stalks of wheat or other kinds of plants to harvest them for their use. However, the definition of the malacha of koitzer is oiker davar megiduloi, uprooting a plant from its source of growth. And this is really what is essentially occurring when one reaps, cuts down a plant. He's detaching the part of the plant from its root or from its source of growth. And that is the definition of the malacha of koitzer. As explained previously, the Chazal understood that the identities of the 39 malachos, that's the principle of ovois and toldois, and also the conditions under which malacha is not permitted to be done on Shabbos, that's the concept of malachas ma'ashevas, both of these principles and concepts were derived from the malachas ha-mishkan as described in the Torah and in Sefer Shemois in Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. We have, up until this point, focused our attention on the first principle, the principle of ovois and toldois derived from the Mishkan, and the concept of tachlis, that is how each one of the malachas has its own unique tachlis, its own purpose, and that purpose is actually the definition of the malacha, and that the definition of each malacha is the key to understanding what kind of activities fall under the category of that malacha and which kinds of activities do not. We now turn our attention to the second principle that the Chazal derived from the Melechas HaMishkan, the very important principle of Melechas Machsheves, whose concepts have a profound and far-reaching effect on the dinim of all of the 39 Melochos. Melechas Machsheves is a term used by Chazal based on Psukim in the Torah to define the parameters and conditions under which Melocha on Shabbos may not be done and when it may be done. Chazal stated a general rule: Melechas Machsheves Osra Torah. Melocha on Shabbos is only forbidden when performed under conditions that qualify as Machsheves. If a melocha is performed under conditions that do not qualify as Machsheves, that melocha is not forbidden by the Torah. For purposes of simplification and clarification, the term machsheves, meleches machsheves, encompasses three concepts that can be distilled in three simple terms: machshava, choshuv, and choshev. The term machshava means intent or planning, This means that for a malacha to qualify as malachas machsheves, the malacha act must be performed with intent or with some sort of planning. A malacha act that lacks this element of machshava, of intent or planning in some form or another, is either not forbidden by the Torah or even actually permitted. A good example of this is the concept of davar she'enai miskaven, davar, an act, a malacha act, she'enai miskaven, that occurs without intent. In other words, the occurrence of the malacha act is neither inevitable nor is it intentional. A good illustration of this is the case that is cited in the Gemara of one who drags a bench or chair that is neither very heavy nor very light over ordinary soil. The permissible act of dragging along the chair over the soil might possibly result in gouging out some of the soil, a kind of like furrow, which could be the act of choresh, of plowing. There are also other common applications of the concept of dover she'ena miskaven. For example, one who wipes his hands, his wet hands, on a paper towel, the permissible act of wiping his hands might possibly result in the paper towel being torn, which could be an iser of kireya, tearing. Similarly, one who runs his fingers through his hair, not a comb, but with his fingers, could possibly result in pulling out a strand of hair. The permissible act of running one's fingers through his hair might result in the pulling out of a hair, which is the malacha of goizes. Similarly, one is permitted to walk along grass, even tall grass, even though it is possible that the free movement of his feet as he walks along might possibly result in pulling up a blade of grass or some other plant. It is nevertheless permitted because in this and all of the other examples, the resultant malacha act is lacking the element of machshava, the element of intent, in its occurrence. The concept of davar she'ena miskaven must be distinguished from another almost identical concept, which is halachically completely different. Concept of psik resha, literally meaning detaching the head. This term will be better explained as we move along. In the case of psik resha, the occurrence of the malacha act is inevitable, cannot be avoided. Using the illustrations that we cited earlier, for example, one who drags a bench along the soil. If the bench is a very heavy object, or if the soil is very soft, and surely if both conditions if the bench that is being dragged is a heavy object, or if the soil is very soft, then certainly if both conditions are present, then the occurrence of the malach of choresh, the gouging out of the soil and the creation of a furrow, would be an inevitable result. Similarly, for a man or a woman to comb her hair or to brush it with a stiff bristle brush would inevitably result in some hair being pulled out, which is tantamount to the unavoidable occurrence of the malacha of goizes, detaching hair. Opening the door to a refrigerator, which is fitted with an automatic light lamp, as most refrigerators today are, is a very good example of psik resha, an application of psik resha, whereby the permissible act of opening the door results inevitably, unavoidably, although perhaps unintentionally, nevertheless unavoidably, in the turning on of the electric light. The igniting of the electric lamp in the refrigerator is probably the malacha deraisa of mavir, kindling. If the electric lamp is an incandescent bulb, which is probably a safe assumption in most cases, then the igniting of the filament is the equivalent of creating a fire. The glowing filament is the equivalent, according to most Poskim, of a flame, and therefore turning on the bulb is the melacha deraisa of mavir, opening the refrigerated door, which would inevitably result in the igniting of that lamp, would be the essentially the same as turning on the lamp on Shabbos. The term psik reisha, which literally means detaching of a head, is used as a model for the concept of inevitable occurrence that is being discussed here. The case that the Gemara is referring to, for example, is the term refers to the theoretical example of one who needs to detach the head, for example, of a chicken, even though he has no desire nor intent to cause the chicken to die. He needs the head. He does not need the death of the chicken. And so in this case, the Gemara uses the term psik reisha v'loyomus, which is in a kind of a question form. Is it possible to detach the head of any living creature and for the creature to remain alive, regardless of what your intention may be? And so the argument that one might make in saying that the movement of the knife back and forth, which is the act of shechita, is of its own, in its own right, is a permissible act. One can move a knife and cut almost anything. He can cut a tomato that way. He can cut onions that way. He can cut a challah that way. So the mere act of moving the knife back and forth over something, even though he might be cutting something while doing so, is not in itself any kind of melacha. But what is occurring here is an inevitable melacha, the death of the chicken, which is the melacha of Sheichet, one of the 39 melachas, Sheichet meaning Atilas Neshama, the removing, taking, eliminating a life, and in this case, the cutting of the chicken's head results in the inevitable occurrence of Shechita, of the death of the chicken. And there, as a general rule, Psik Reisha is forbidden on Shabbos and almost everywhere else in the Torah. Dover Shein Miskaven is on Shabbos almost always permitted. Another category of a malacha act in which the element of machshava, of intent, is significantly absent is a concept known as malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, most best translated as where the malacha is not needed for its intended guf, for its, in this case, its intended purpose. The tachlis of the malacha is not intended, and in that case, the machshava of in the act of the malacha is absent. The concept of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, a malacha that is done for a purpose other than for that which was done in the Mishkan, might be best illustrated with the Malach of Mechaba. The Malach of Mechaba meaning extinguishing. To extinguish a flame is one of the 39 Malachis of Shabbos. In the Mishkan, fire was needed for one of two purposes. In one case, to heat up the vats of dyes that were needed for the Mishkan, and in that case they would have a pile of wood underneath these vats. The pile of wood would be ignited and then just charred and then extinguished. They would prepare the firewood by first igniting it and then soon after extinguishing the flames, the purpose being to char the wood so that it would be more easily ignited later when they were ready to actually do the cooking with the firewood. In this case, the purpose of the extinguishing was to create charred wood, much the same as a conscientious husband on Erev Shabbos, to make it easier for his wife to light the candles later. This kind of kindling is an example of malacha hatzricha legufa, where the malacha is being done for the very same purpose for which it was done in the Mishkan. To simply blow out a candle would not be a malacha hatzricha legufa, but rather a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa, because he does not need to produce anything simply to extinguish the flame. This is not similar to the malach of Mechaba as was done in the Mishkan.
It must be pointed out here, however, as will be mentioned later, that malach ha-shein tzrich l'gufa is forbidden on Shabbos. Therefore, to blow out a candle simply to extinguish it although it's not a malacha deraisa, is nevertheless a serious iser of malacha on Shabbos. According to some of Orishim, the malacha of mechabe, extinguishing, was needed for the purpose of producing charcoal as fuel to be used for smelting and smelting the metals that were needed in the Mishkan. Although it is not an iser malacha deraisa according to most poskim, it is nevertheless a serious iser malacha on Shabbos. Although malacha shein tzricha legufa is generally forbidden on Shabbos, there are some cases where malacha shein tzricha legufa in combination with other halachic factors can be permitted. A notable example is with the malacha of tzod, trapping, as in the case of a harmful stinging insect, that the din is that one is permitted to trap the insect. For example, a yellow jacket or bee may be covered with a cup to prevent it from causing any harm by stinging anybody. In this case, due to the fact that it causes significant tsar, as well as a combination of other factors in halacha, there is basis for permitting one to trap the insect to prevent it from stinging someone. Following our previous discussion of machshava, the concept of intent and planning that is derived from the principle of Malachas Machshavas, we now turn our attention to a second concept, the term Choshev, also derived from the word Malachas Machshavas, from the word Machshavas. The term Choshev, meaning important or significant, indicates that a Malacha on Shabbos must have the characteristic of Chashivos. It must be an act that is productive and that is useful, similar to what was done in the Mishkan, in which all of the activities had these characteristics, the characteristic of chashivus. The labors in the Mishkan were significant and productive labors. An example of where the characteristic of choshuv is absent from a malacha is in the concept of mekalkel, which means destructive act. A destructive act is not considered malachas machshevas. A good illustration of mekalkel can be seen in the malacha of kareya, which means tearing, ripping fabrics. The malacha of kareya was necessary in the Mishkan for repairing the cloth coverings of the Mishkan. If one of the cloth coverings would become damaged, it was necessary for the tailor or the seamstress to tear open the damaged area wider in order to be able to repair it properly. In that case, the ripping of the fabric was a constructive and productive act necessary for repairing the material. On the other hand, to shred paper or to rip apart fabric to discard them be mekalkel, a destructive act, and therefore not considered malachas machshevas. The same would be true of any malacha that is done in a destructive manner. For example, to break a glass or to shatter a dish or to dismantle furniture in order to discard them would similarly be mekalkel, even though if these very same acts were done in a productive or constructive manner, they would be included under the melacha of soiser. For example, if a craftsman was to take apart a chair or bench which wasn't sitting properly in order to correct it, and then to glue it and nail it together again, the dismantling would in that case be a productive act in the malacha of seiser, demolishing. Although mekalkel is generally forbidden on Shabbos midrabbanan, there are cases where a destructive act can be permitted in practice partly on the basis of mekalkel. For example, tearing the wrappings around foods or other Shabbos necessities, paper goods, and so on, are permitted in some cases based partly on the principle of mekalkel. Another example of where the characteristic of choshev is absent may be illustrated from the concept of enai miskayim, which means temporary effect. A malacha that is enai miskayim is lacking in the principles of malachas machshevas. It is not choshev. In the Mishkan, the labors, the malachas ha-mishkan, were activities which were significant and permanent activities, were activities that created permanent, durable results. An activity that is not capable of creating a permanent or durable effect or result is not similar and does not have the qualities that the labors of the Mishkan had, and is therefore not Meleches Machsheves. It is not Choshev, and is therefore not Meleches Machsheves. For example, in the Melacha of Kosev writing, which was one of the 39 Melachos, the letter, symbol, diagram, or picture that is being created must be durable and permanent. On the other hand, if one runs his finger on a foggy window pane, and thereby creates a symbol or a letter or a picture on the surface of the window, or if he does the same, for example, on a dusty tabletop and writes a symbol or a letter on the surface of the table, in all of these cases, the resulting creation is not durable, is not permanent, and therefore neither choshev nor meleches machsheves. Although Dover Sheinem Iskayim is generally forbidden on Shabbos Midrabonan, there are cases where Einem Iskayim can be permitted. For example, the Shaila was raised at one time regarding disposable diapers that entail the use of adhesive tabs in order to fasten the diaper onto the child. The taping of the tabs, some poskim argued, comes under the Isser of Medabik Chalokim. Combining and gluing parts together. Gluing parts together, which comes under the Melacha of Teufer, because the gluing and fastening of two items together, such as what is done with the taping, is similar to what is achieved in the Melacha of Teufer, whereby two items are sewn or stitched together and thereby combined as one. Although many Poskim in Eretz Yisrael were of the opinion that these diapers were forbidden to use on Shabbos because of Teufer, Hagoyner of Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, paskined that they were permitted because the taping effect is totally Einem Iskayim, is totally temporary, has no permanence whatsoever, and therefore is permitted. Because the taping effect is meant to be completely temporary and is therefore on a level of Einem Iskayim Klal and permitted. For the same reason, one is not required to remove the tabs from their backing before Shabbos out of concerns that doing so on Shabbos might be Kareya, because as explained, the original fastening of the tabs on their backing from the manufacturer are considered completely temporary and therefore do not entail neither the Shail of Teufer in the first place and therefore not the Shail of Kareya on Shabbos by the consumer. The third and final term, derived from the word machsheves and the principle of meleches machsheves, is the concept of choshev, which means skill and coordination, dexterity. In the Mishkan, all of the labors, all of the activities in the construction and in the functioning of the Mishkan were done with great skill. Therefore, any melacha on Shabbos is forbidden by the Torah only when it is done in a skillful, in a skilled manner. Therefore, any melacha on Shabbos that is lacking in this characteristic and quality of skill and dexterity would not fall under the principle of meleches machsheves and would therefore not be included as in the melachas that the Torah forbade on Shabbos min haTorah. A good example of where skill and dexterity is absent in the Melacha act and therefore not Meleches Machsheves is in the concept of Shinui, which means unusual or abnormal manner of doing something. The term Kilachar Yad, which means the back of one's hand, is also used to describe this concept of Meleches Machsheves. A good illustration of this concept of Shinui and Kilachar Yad can be applied in the Melacha of Kosev, writing, which is, of course, one of the 39 Melachos. Writing is a skilled labor requiring a measure of dexterity and training. Were one to write in an abnormal or awkward way, for example, to hold the pen or the pencil between his teeth, clenched between his teeth, and to create a symbol in that manner would be an act of kosev b'derech kilachar yad in an awkward backhanded manner and therefore not meleches machsheves. Similarly, a right-handed person holding the pen in his left hand and executing a symbol or letter or diagram, etc., in that manner would also be an example of shinoi kalach hayad and not melechas machshavas. Although shinoi is forbidden midrabbanan in most cases, it nevertheless does have some important practical applications in certain melachos. For example, regarding the melacha of teichin, which means grinding, when one is mashing a banana, which according to many poskim is considered teichin, mashing a banana for a child can be permitted when doing so with a shinui. The recommendation is that the banana be mashed with the handle of a fork or a spoon or a knife and done right before it will be served to the child or to whoever will be using it. In that case, mashing in the kilach hayad, backhanded manner, is actually permitted due to a combination of factors. Although in most of the malachas, this would not be the case. The concept of shinui can also be used to permit the malacha of lush in certain cases. The malacha of lush, which means kneading, K-N-E-A-D-I-N-G, which was, according to Zomri Shainim, necessary, needed in the Mishkan for the producing of the lechem aponim, which entailed mixing water with flour to make dough, is one of the 39 malachas. The basic premise of the malacha of losh is to combine particles of solids with liquids to produce a thick, dough-like or paste-like mixture known as a balila. In the case of doughs and pastes, this mixture is referred to as a balila ova, a thick, paste-like mixture. However, combining particles of solids with liquids to result in a thin batter-like mixture, which is known as a blila racha, is not forbidden min haTorah, but is rather forbidden midrabbanan. For example, preparing a baby cereal for a child entails combining cereal powder with milk or juice or some other liquid, and the combination results in a thin batter-like mixture, which is considered a blila racha and ordinarily forbidden to produce on Shabbos. However, the concept of shinui can be applied to permit making the baby cereal by performing the two steps of the preparation in an irregular and awkward manner. The process in the Malacha of Losh is comprised of two steps, both of which are forbidden. The first step, known as Nasinas Mayim, entails combining the liquid with the powder. The second step, or the flour, called Gibul, entails the actual mixing and kneading of the two ingredients to result in the mixture, in the thick mixture. One is permitted to prepare a baby cereal or other blila racha mixture on Shabbos by doing both steps in an irregular or backhanded manner. For example, the first step of Nasinas Mayim, combining the liquid with the powder or cereal flakes, must be done by reversing the order. Ordinarily, the cereal is put in the bowl first and the milk or juice is added later. On Shabbos, that order would be reversed and the liquid would be poured into the bowl first with the powder added later, which would constitute a kind of a shinui, a kind of a backhanded or irregular manner of that first step. After that, the actual gibul, the mixing, which is the second step, is also done with a shinu in a backhanded, awkward way. The most practical manner of doing it in an awkward way would be to mix the spoon in a crisscross or X-like motion each time, going instead of a stirring motion, in an X or crisscross-like motion.